Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, let's pray and get into this. Father, I thank you. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Where we could come and we could laugh and we can enjoy life. Because God, you made us for that, Father. And we just want to come today and we want your word on us, to us, and sort of go through us. And the marriages today, Lord. And God, I know this series is on marriage, but again, it's individuals make up marriages. And so when we strengthen ourselves, we strengthen our marriage. If we're not married, when we strengthen ourselves in God, we won't be food. We won't go into relationships that don't honor you. And God, everything we do, we want to honor you in everything. So Lord, be with this word today as we go forward. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Jesus. Amen. All right, we've been going through the alphabet of help. First Sunday was H. Second Sunday was E. Today's message is brought to you by the letter L. Everybody say L. Hallelujah. And let me give you, again, these are not going to be in your notes, so you may want to write these down. But the L today we're going into, literally, well, let's just go ahead and put the first note up. My first note, again, I hope you get tired of me saying this, that you're quoting it so much. Marriage works 100% of the time, guaranteed success when you do it what? Somebody say, imagine that. If we do from the Creator, if we do it the way He says do it, we are guaranteed success. No failure, ever. It's only when we get outside the parameters and we begin to do our own thing and we begin to get selfish in marriage and that we're the only thing that can foul a marriage up. God can't. Amen? And again, all marriages need help. They either get better or they get worse. Your marriage is not standing still no matter what you think. All right, out of that. Everybody say the letter L. Now, give you this list here. You need to write this down. The very first thing I believe L stands for in a relationship is love. Everybody say love. Oh, come on, say it like you like it. Love. And then I think in a marriage full of God's love and the love of God and the love of each other, you've got to have some L for laughter. Amen. Just like we got to laugh with them, and not at them, but with them. Well, at him a little bit, but with them, with her. Okay? So you got to have some laughter along the way because marriage needs to be the greatest relationship outside of your relationship with God. And I don't know about you, but my relationship with God, I have a lot of laughter with my relationship with God because the Bible declares it's the joy of my Lord that gives me strength. Not the sadness of God, not the rigidity of God. It's the joy of my Lord that gives you strength to face anything and everybody, okay? And now these last three are kind of tied together. And those last three L words, the first one is longevity. You need to be in this for the long haul. Can I have an amen there? Amen. It's not a temporary fix. You need to have a marriage that is the L word for lasting. Kind of longevity and lasting is kind of the same word. And then the last one, and again, all these are very important, but the last one kind of seals it up where we're going to end today on is loyal. I have to be loyal the rest of my life to one person with everything about me. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. All right, let's start off. Everybody say love. So again, what do we need to know about love? People meet and they say, we're in love. Well, I love chicken fingers. Come on. I love chicken fingers. I love a steak. I love to eat. That's a whole lot different love than the way I love my wife. But some of us, we don't understand what the word love means. And I'll tell you about the different meanings of the word love here in just a moment. But the first thing is you got to get your understanding about love will always be limited to you and your understanding until you know the love of God. So when we're talking about marriage, usually you talk about love, and they're talking about, well, I love my spouse, I love my wife, I love my husband, whichever way you are. I love them and I love my children and that's family. No. That's great, but that's secondary love. Until you understand God's agape love, you're not ready to be married. You're not. You can have feelings for them, but if you don't understand God's love and who you are first in their love, then you're not ready to be a wife or a husband. It's quiet in this place already. So let's just establish God's love first. How about that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Everybody say, let's go to the Word. So the Bible says, beloved. Everybody say, beloved. He says, let us what? Let us love one another. For love is of what? Stop right there. Love is of, oh, she's pretty. Oh, he's a good-looking dude. Love is, a lot of times in today's time, they got money. They got money. They got the nice cars. They got the good body. They got, woo, that's love. No. Let us love one another, for love, first and foremost, is of what? It's of God. You can't have love, true love, without God. You can have a falsification of love. You can have a type of love. But it will not be a love that will sustain what God wants in your life and use it to bless you with. First of all, love is of God because he is that. And we'll read on and find that out. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's a bold statement, but look at the next verse. He who does not love does not know God. Leave this up there. Say it with me. For God is love. He don't just know about it. He don't just operate in it. It is what he is. It is the fiber of his being. It's love. Now, when it says love, some people go, well, I love my wife, so I must be of God, even though I've never surrendered my life to Christ. You don't understand the difference. The word love there is agape love. All throughout this two verses, it mentions the third type of love in the Bible, which is agape. Everybody say agape? Or agapo, however you want to say it. Either one. It means God's love. It means an unconditional love. How many know most of the time we got conditions on our love? As long as you love me, I'll love you back. As long as you do what I want to do, it's going to be okay. But the first time you step out of bounds, I'm going to unload on you. Aren't you glad God doesn't unload on us every time we step out of bounds? I'd have done got hit twice this morning. Amen. Come on, I had to get up, number one. Grumbled getting out of bed a little bit this morning, like, golly, bum, that alarm went off early this morning. But it goes off the same time every day, and I think that. But again, look at that. He who does not know agape doesn't know God. And let me tell you something. A lot of people don't know agape. I'm just going to tell you straight up. A lot of Christians don't know agape. They know the other forms of it, but they don't know agape. Again, God is love. So, when I begin to teach on this sometimes in counseling, and because, you know, they come in there into my office because they've lost that love and feeling, and I tell them it's not about your feelings all the time, amen? And I begin to show them this scripture where God is love, and until you really walking with God, you cannot have a proper love for your spouse. And until you walk with God and have a personal one-on-one relationship with the Lord, I can't be the husband I need to be. Now, I shared my testimony last week. I'm not going to share it again because my head got to leaking up here last week a little. And I'm not one that does that hardly ever. Not ashamed of it, but I'm just, I don't have time. You want to go back, watch my head leak? Watch last week. Okay? But I tell them, you don't know how to love your husband because you don't know how to love God first. And you don't know how to love your wife until you know how to love God first. And they're semi-okay with that. A little bit of offense comes up there sometimes. But if they've got kids, and I say, let me take it a step further. You don't even know how to love your kids properly until you love God. Don't you tell me that. I ain't telling you. I'm just repeating what the Bible says. If you don't know agape, God love, because God is love, how could you ever love anything or anyone? And you can have the feeling that you love them deeply. But let me tell you, if you want your spouse to have the most blessed person in the marriage, you will have a God love for yourself and them. If you want your kids to grow up knowing that daddy and mommy absolutely, yes, will die for them, but that we want to live a godly life for them and being raised in a home where both parents are still there. Now, I know we got all kind of different marriages in different kind of places, and I'm not trying to go back and dredge up anything. I say this right here. Where you're at today, if you are married, you go forward. Can I have a better amen there? The past is the past. If you've repented and that's under the blood, then it's under the blood. You build on what God's blessing you right now.
Amen.
All right. So everybody say three kinds of love. There's actually four, but the two of them are real close, so we just go with the one because it's mentioned the most in the Bible. But the first love we have, and not going to be in your notes up here, is what we call filial love or phileo love. This means this is a brotherly friendship kind of love. I've got phileo love for a lot of people. Brotherly friendship. I also have phileo love for my wife. She's my best friend. Your spouse ought to be your best friend above any friends you got. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
I didn't marry my friends. I didn't marry my friends. I married my wife. She is my number one best friend in the world. I have that kind of love for her. We should have that love for all of mankind, really, phileo love, brothers and sisters. Amen? So that's that love. The second kind of love that's most called out in the Bible is the word eros, E-R-O-S, eros love. This is where we get the terminology in today's world of erotic. It means sexual love. It means passion. It means relationship of intimacy. That is reserved for one person and one person only on planet Earth. And it is whom you are married to if you're married. If you're not married, you don't experience that love yet. Can I have a better amen?
Amen.
That love is reserved between a man and a woman in the confines of covenant vows of marriage. It doesn't belong anywhere else. I know that's popular. The third type of love is what I've already called you. It's agape love. So for your marriage to be complete inside, what God wants to bless you with is He wants you to be best friends. He wants you to be intimate with each other, and He wants the unconditional love to Him and through you and to your wife and kids. You got to have all three. And anytime you lack one of these loves inside your marriage, whether it's the phileo, whether it's the eros, or whether it's definitely the agape, your marriage is in trouble. And God has all of these available to you, but you have to pick them up and run with it. Can I have a better amen there? Now, let me just tell you about agape love real quick. I got one word for agape. Again, the one word we usually use is unconditional. Do you know what unconditional means for a man or a woman? I'm not selfish. Because the number one problem in marriage is selfishness. Let me say that again. The absolute root of all marriage problems is selfishness. My way or the highway. Everybody say love. Now, there's a chapter in the Bible known as the love chapter. Now, there's a book of the Bible known as the love book. It's the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon. Very good book. Go through it yourself. Ain't got time. One of these days, I may just do a whole series on that. But today, the love chapter is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. And about the first three or four words of verse 8 should have been included in verse 7, but they didn't write it that way. So I'm not going to put up verse 8 because after the first words of what love is, it takes off in another direction. So you're going to get that, but it won't be on your screen today. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Everybody say love.
Love.
The Bible says, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or just a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and have all this knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if I have not love, I'm what? Nothing. Go ahead. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, great thing. And though I give my body to be burned, sacrifice, wonderful. But if I have not love, it profits me nothing. Next verse. Love suffers long. Come on, guys. Come on, married people. Love suffers long, but it's kind. We forgot about that part, didn't we? Because when we're suffering in marriage, we want everybody to suffer. We ain't too kind, usually. But love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself around. It is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Let me read that again. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own self out. It's not selfish. Are you with me? does not seek its own self. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Next. Love does not rejoice in iniquities, but it rejoices in what? Love rejoices in the truth always. Go ahead with the next one real quick. And finally, it's like this. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And in a few words of verse 8 says, love never fails. If you want to know what love is, that's love. Love performs and has duty. Love is an active, activation, proactive word. You don't just get to say you love something and not show it. There's an old song called Love Isn't Love Until You Give It Away. I can say I love you, but until there's something back there that shows that, some concern, an action of mine, it's just words thrown out. And in a marriage, when you say you love your spouse, there's got to be some action behind it. Is there proof in the pudding, as we say? Now, I want to read those exact same verses to you again, but I want to read them to you in the context of the word love. Everybody say love. According to 1 John, which we just read, God is love. Did we just not read that, church? And that word there literally can mean God and does mean God because God is love. So if we look at this for our marriage, we'll look at also how God thinks of us and wants us. Let me read that to you again. It's not going to be on your screen, so just sit there. If you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. The Bible says, again, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 7, talking about us. Though we may speak with tongues of men and of angels, you may shatata and batata, but if you don't have God, you've become a sounding brass and a clinging cymbal. And though I may have the gift of prophecy, I can do all this prophesying, and I understand these great mysteries, and I've got all this knowledge and wisdom, and though I have my faith that I can even speak to mountains and move them, but if I do not have God, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods, and I feed the poor, and though I give my body over to be burned, but if I do not have God, then it profits me nothing. Now watch this. God suffered. Everybody say, God suffered. God suffered long, but he's kind. God is not envious of you and I. He's jealous for us, but he's not envious of us. God does not parade himself around. And God is not puffed up. Verse 5 goes on and says, God does not behave rudely. God is not self-seeking in his own things. He is not provoked, and God thinks no evil towards you. And that's enough to celebrate right there. And then in verse 7, finally, it was God that bared all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. God never fails. God never fails. And when your marriage is in God and his love, your marriage can never fail. Not one day, not over one issue, not over one problem, not over one attack. It'll go through it with God and his power, and you will grow through it. You will not fall into deception. You will not fall for the lies. You will not fall into the everybody else's category. You'll stand fast because you know God has bared you, believed you, hoped you, endured you. God's never failed you. Yes, that's a good golf clap. Amen? So everybody say, God is love. Now, I'm going to try not to get you out of here as late as I did last week. There's so much more to this. But the second word we used after love was laughter. Everybody say laughter. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Everybody say the Bible says. The Bible, the Word of God declares a merry heart does good. It's like medicine. Literally, I believe some of you could come off some of your medicine if you would learn to laugh at life. If you would learn to find your strength is just not physical strength. It's just not mental strength. It's just not all the strength that you think. It is spiritual strength that comes to you when you've got the joy of the Lord. You become spiritually mature and strong when you can look at the devil and laugh when he tries to attack you instead of falling apart and blaming. Well, come on, brother. You up in the house. You did come today, didn't you? He's only been promising for the last 3 months, but I'm not going to call him out, Bean. But a merry heart does good, like a medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. And how fast are we in marriage to break our spouse's spirit? by words of condemnation, by words of rejection, by words of let's everybody say real. We will talk to our spouse like we will not talk to anyone else. Stupid. I've done it. As a matter of fact, we will talk to our spouse in a manner that if anybody else we heard out loud talking to them like that, we'd rock up and punch them in the snot locker. That's a nose for some of you who don't know what a snot locker is. We would never have anyone speak to our wives that way. But yet we get home and we think we can. Yeah, now that lady said, now you preach, your brother, preach on. Well, let me back up again and say, ladies. Someone talks to your man like that, you need to be getting a five-fold ministry ready for him. And we've even heard people, nobody talks about my spouse like that except me. When they ought to be the person we'd never talk to like that. We need to fix that, self-included at times, amen? Same scripture to you, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22, out of the Passion Translation, reads it like this. A joyful, cheerful heart brings healing to both. I love this part. It brings it to your body and your soul. In other words, your physical body is going to be more healed and you have a merry outlook on life when you've got the joy of the Lord. And your soulish realm, your mind, will, and your emotions become healthy when you thinketh on the things of the Lord. Your mind's not scattered over here with all the talks and the deception and the join the man-hater club, join the woman-hater club. Your mind is clear of that. And it should be. Then it goes on to say this right here. But the one whose heart is crushed struggles, watch this now, with sickness and depression. You wouldn't believe the amount of people come in. One of the spouses is going through a physical sickness and depression. Why? Oftentimes because their marriage is not operating in the joy of the Lord. It's not the external factors out here in the world. Yes, the world puts a lot of pressure on us. Yes, the world's upside down. But let me tell you something, no matter how topsy-turvy the world gets, inside your home, inside your marriage, you get to choose. You have 100% control of how you choose to respond to any situation that comes into your being in your marriage. You can choose to act like the world and be a jerk. Or you can choose to act like God and walk in forgiveness and understanding and love and compassion. And we choose. Every day we choose. Somebody say, you know that's right. So under laughter, I often ask couples what I'll ask you today. As a couple, married couple today, what do you guys do for fun?
Sleep.
Good answer. I don't know. Somebody else. What do y'all do for fun?
Watch TV.
Watch TV. I said fun. Jeep riding. Hang out with grandkids. Dance. Hunt. That was a woman that said hunt. A godly woman right there. Hiking, yes. Make the husband a sandwich. Praise the Lord. I feel the power of God up in here. Camping. Fishing. Shopping. Daylight donuts. Oh, we're getting spiritual now, baby. Altar's fixing to, man, this place is fixing to pile up in here, man. Hey, you should have been here Wednesday night. We had daylight donuts here Wednesday night for Valentine's Day. But when I ask couples that, if they've been married more than like a dozen hours or so, they look at me and go, well, I mean, what do we do for fun? I mean, I get up and go to work, come home. And I get up and go to work and come home. And then I get up and go to work and come home. Now, I am one, I preach against the generation that everything's got to be about the funsies. Because everything is not about the funsies all the time. But you got to have some fun. Because let me tell you something. Anything you deal with in life, if you don't enjoy it and there's no little bit of fun to it, you ain't going to want to stay around it very long. And if you do, if you feel like you're forced and stuck in it, you're going to get depressed there. And you're going to have sickness and disease and afflictions. So find something you like to do And do it. Make schedule it. Make time for it. Because your marriage deserves for you to have some time together. Make the kids go to their room. Send them to somebody else's house for an hour or two. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? Now, oftentimes in marriage, our fun is different. My wife's idea of fun is always going on a trip somewhere. Let's go see this. Let's go see that. I enjoy that too to a certain point. My idea of fun, hobby-wise, is a little different from hers. My idea of fun is strapping a tank on, going underwater, and seeing some fish. I love to dive. I love to ride motorcycles. I love to shoot guns. All three things she cares nothing about. But years ago, I'm going to tell this story on her. She's not here. It's okay, but I'm not going to say nothing about her weight this time. Much like Cody, I think I'm learning my lesson. I don't know about Cody, but anyway, I learned my lesson. But I loved it, and you know, I was always going on these dives, and when you go out on the dive boat, you always got to have a partner to dive with, because that's one of the rules, you never dive by yourself. And so I'd always get partnered up with some dude or some other lady or something. It was just weird. I was like a fifth wheel there, you know, and everybody else has got their spouses or their kids there, and I'm the only one in my family at the time that dove, and I kept asking her, but I didn't want to pressure her, you know. Again, I want her to do it because she wants to do it. Well, she had read a book. Yeah, she got one of them books and read, and it talked about getting in your husband's world and being there, and so she kind of got all convicted about it, and she told me that year, she said, now listen, she said, here's your Christmas present. I've decided I'm going to get certified and dive with you. Man, I was like, yeah, oh, yeah, thank you, Lord. Yes, I'm going to have my wife by my side under the water now. And I knew she was a little apprehension, and then I found the book. I found the book on her. I didn't pay no attention one day. I found the book, and I read a little bit into it, and I'm like, she read this book. And she meant to try to do good, but of course, you know, you don't train during the winter, or up here in Alabama anyway. And so when the weather began to break, I asked her, it's like 3 or 4 or 5 months later, when it got into dive season and the weather gets warmer, where we can hit the waters, I said, is my Christmas present still available, or are you going to, yeah, I'm going to do it. But you could tell she was apprehensive because the book had done wore off. Well, y'all know what I mean? Y'all ever get like that? You know, you get that in emotion, and you're like, man, I'm going to redo this, and then, you know, you have some time, and then it still ain't there. So, but now I will give her credit. To her credit, I signed her up for class. She went through like a champ. She did all of her diving, her checkout dives, her pool dives. And her last dive, she's fully certified and has been ever since. Just for me. And she's never been in the water since. She's never donned another tank or another wetsuit or nothing. She's never been back in the water. Not one dive with me. Because I like to dive in the ocean, and she's scared of critters. And I'm like, well, why did you get certified? And it was just... But I, you know what? I love her for that. Whether or not she ever gets in the water again, she did something outside her scope just for me. And me not being a jerk, I'm not going to make her dive in the water with me. So again, when I say do something fun with your spouse and get into their world, guys, let's keep this within reason. Don't try to get your spouse to do something you know they absolutely can't stand to do. Now, even if you can't stand to do it, you just do it if you can. You will see me at the mall shopping. You will see me at the wall as a pack mule carrying everybody's packs, and I'll have my wallet, and then I'll have a place somewhere where I sit down and wait, and I watch people. You know why I do that? I love my wife and my kids. I find zero joy in it, personally, but I've learned to find the joy of the Lord in it for my family, because I didn't marry myself, I married my wife, and God gave me my kids. Amen? So again, you got to learn to do what they do. Again, like I said, I married my wife and took my vows to my wife, not to me. So again, keep it in prospect. And for the women that like to hunt, some of you men don't want you going hunting. Unless you're a real hunter. I know she's a real hunter. She'll knock a deer down herself. Some women try to go hunting with their husband and they out there going, these bugs are all over me. Chanel number 5, you wore perfume out here in the blind. All right, I got to move quickly. Praise you, Lord. Everybody say laughter is good. Let's get to the last one, and I'm going to do these last three together to try to save a little time on you today. The last three words were longevity, lasting, and you can put that up if you want to. Longevity and lasting leads to loyalty. If you want to know how to have a loyal relationship and a long-lasting one, amen, so go ahead and put the next note up, which is that very question. How do we have a marriage that lasts and we stay loyal? How do we do that? Is it possible? Some of us look like, I don't even know if it's possible. You got to see what I'm married to. I'm telling you, it's possible. But you got to get out of yourself, you got to get help, and you got to understand love first. You'll never have long-lasting loyalty until you understand love, who God is and who God is in you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So when somebody says, they often get in my office and they'll say, well, how do we develop that long-lasting love and where we're loyal to each other? And I always say, let me ask you a question, or I'll answer your question with a couple of questions, because however you see it is where we need to start working on.
Right.
Amen? So I need to know something, what you think a long-lasting and loyalty looks like to you. So I'll ask you, what do you know and understand about covenant godly marriage? And do you realize some people, now I counsel a lot of people outside this church that don't even come here. And a lot of them don't even know what covenant marriage is. They just thought they were in love and they went and got married. What do you mean a covenant marriage? God, we don't understand that. We've never heard of a covenant marriage. That's a problem. Because marriage is a covenant of God. Most people approach marriage like it's a contract, sign here, and here's the breach of contract. If I decide I want out, I'll just breach the contract.
Yeah.
No, that's not how covenant works. Covenant is you work at it till you die.
Yeah.
Or they kill you, one of the two.
Right.
Now, so what do you know about covenant marriage? And let me go back to this right here. Who and what was in your vows, and who did you take your vows to? So I'll ask them, what was your vows? Some of them don't even know what their vows included. And I'll say, now last week I showed a good video that gave an example of that. Go back and watch that. The real deal. But most of them, I'll say, you pretty much promise these things in most vows. That you're going to love them, you're going to support them, you're going to be there through rich and poor, better or worse, sickness and health. You're going to forsake all others and be their sole lover the rest of your life. Yeah, it was something along the lines of that, yes. Who did you take that to? Well, I took it to them. Who else? Nobody, just them. That's a problem. Because if I take it just to them, then I feel like I can break it because it's just them when I don't like them anymore. Well, who else was there? Excuse me, all marriages that want to honor God, God's the star of that show.
Yeah.
He's the guest. He created it. You didn't get married without him, or not supposed to anyway. So you not only do you take your vows to one another, but your first and foremost place you're taking a vow, which is a covenant, is to God. So I promised God that I would love my wife even when she didn't act like I wanted her to. Which has been on many occasions. And I certainly have more occasions on my side that I've not acted like she wants me to. Why did we stay married? God's covenant. To honor God. I promised God that I would be with her when she was sick or healthy. I promised God that I would be with her when times were good and times were bad. When we had money we could do a little something with, and when we had money it was ramen noodle nights. Wave at me, all you ramen noodle people. Been there, done that, several months at a time. And I've been there, and she's been there, and we've rode the roller coaster of marriage just like everybody else has, but we're still together. And we're in more love now than we've ever been before. And when we live another 30 years, we're going to be more in love 30 years from now when we were there. The way God intended it to be. Can I have a better amen? So when you understand, so if you don't have a basis of that, now we got to stop and go, okay, you need to understand what was in your vow. Everybody say the vow.
The vow.
Again, I'm going to go quick. There's so much more on this today. But you took your vow to God. Now, even if you didn't know it, the sanctity of marriage, the creator of marriage is God. Government did not create marriage. Government cannot tell you what marriage is because they had nothing to do with it. So don't ever think that a government can tell you what marriage is. It cannot. It has no authority. It is not the creator or the keeper of it.
Amen.
Only God can, because it's his creation. Can I have a better amen?
Amen?
Anything outside a man and a woman in holy matrimony is not God. It's not marriage.
Amen.
Well, that could make some people mad. Well, get glad. I'll forgive you for getting mad at that. I'm just that kind of guy. You're welcome. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. If a man makes a vow, which is also a covenant. If a man makes a vow to the what?
Lord.
If he makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he, say the next two words. He shall not. Doesn't say it'd be good if he didn't. It says what?
Shall.
Now, everybody say shall not when I point to you. Let me read this again. If he swears an oath or makes a vow to bind himself to some agreement, which marriage is an agreement, it would be good if he didn't break it. It would be wise if he didn't break it. There are circumstances I think he'd be okay if he went ahead and broke it. That's what the word says. It doesn't say anything about any excuses fitting here. It says that man shall not break his word. He shall do. According to most of what he said.
All.
Let's practice again. All.
All.
No, this section over here, y'all ain't doing good.
All. All.
Okay. He shall not break his word. He shall do according to some. Most of,
all.
When he feels like it,
all.
According to how she acts,
all.
Y'all preaching good today. According to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Wow. Not some of it, not on the good days, not when the response is like you like it from them, all. Of your vows should be performed all the time. Woo! This is why you take your vows to each other publicly and you speak them, the I do's to them at least. It's your spoken word to God and to your spouse. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21. The Bible says, when you make a vow to the Lord, again, to who?
God.
To the Lord your God, be prompt. Prompt means don't delay. Prompt means you don't let things get in the way. Be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God,
Amen.
He don't suggest, he don't say it'd be good if you did. He says the Lord God demands that you promptly fulfill some of your vows. Most of your vows.
All.
On occasion, your vows.
All.
No, you must fulfill all your vows. Or, watch this now, you are guilty of what?
Sin.
The wages of sin is death. You want to kill your marriage? Don't live up to your vows. You want to be in sin inside a godly marriage? Don't live up to your vows. Break your vow. Be a vow breaker. See how that blesses your life and your marriage and your spouse and everything else. Y'all okay? Your vows were not a joke to God. He took them seriously, whether you ever meant to or not. And again, I'm going to say this. I will give an account to the vows I took to God to my wife. Whether I kept them or not. Ladies, you will keep a vow to your the vows you took to your husband, whether you kept them or not. Good preaching, amen.
Amen.
Now let me put up a simple but very profound note. Go ahead. If you will be loyal to your vows, your marriage will be great. That sounds simple. But them vows has got a lot in them. That covenant vow has a lot in there. And I promise you, you're tempted, just like every person in here, is not to keep your vows at all time. To honor, love, and respect. When they just act like they deserve it, then I'll do it. Woo! Everybody say loyalty. Now we're going to get to loyalty real quick. Everybody say loyalty.
Loyalty.
Loyalty means nothing more. Go ahead and put it up. Loyalty means, it's the same word. The Bible uses more of this word. It really means loyalty. It's built out of the same Greek word. Loyalty and commitment mean the exact same thing. Everybody say commitment. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, first word, commit, be loyal. Commit your works to the Lord and your, everybody say my thoughts. My thoughts will be established. Leave that up there for a minute. Everybody say commit my works. When I say commit your works to the Lord, what's the first thing you think of? Your good deeds to do for church, your roles, maybe you're serving in, you're doing this, or you're helping somebody out. Let me tell you something. Your good works include your spouse, because your spouse is work. And back in the letter E, one of the E's was extra, because some of us are married to that spouse. They just a little extra sometimes. They require a little extra patience, a little extra time, a little extra effort. They just a little extra in everything they do. Okay? Yeah, you're sitting by them. That's right. So when we commit ourselves to the work of God, I'm committing myself to work on my marriage. Listen to me real closely. If you're not committed to work on your marriage, Satan's already at work on your marriage. And he's using you as a dummy to accomplish it. Work on your marriage. Marriage is work. But when I begin to work at my marriage to the Lord, the Bible says something amazing here. He says, then my thoughts will be established. If I am praying, if my wife is on my last nerve, and she's just not being what I need at the time, and she's not doing this, and she's not, and I'm just, if I'm not in my word, I'm going to lash back out. But I promise you, every time I'm walking in the word and my prayer life is good and I've been praying blessings on my wife and I've been praying for her the way God would pray for her and loving her the way God would love her with agape love, even in those times, guess what? I manage to get through them a lot better than I used to. You know why? Because my thoughts don't go there anymore. Because I put away childish thoughts when I became a man of God. Amen? I put away those childish thoughts. And her with me. Probably her with me more than I with her. Why do y'all find that so easy to believe? I love y'all. Good thing I don't have feelings or they might have got hurt right there. So work is under the Lord. My marriage is under the Lord. And when you have kids, they're under the Lord. Kids are work. Dear God, are they work. Never-ending work. And they will pop tires and lie about it. Call you up, try to get you to leave somewhere. I busted two tires, psych. That's what happens at a Journey Church life group. They're encouraged to lie. It is based on true events. I did get that call. Not one tire, but two. Baby, did you hit something? No. Two tires just popped going down the road. I guess. I roll up, two tires are flat, same side. You had to hit something. I don't know. Baby, the sidewall's busted out. Well, I did kind of scrape a curve going out of the parking lot. Well, it keeps life interesting. That's the laughter part. You might as well laugh instead of cry. But my thoughts, how I think about my marriage, how I think about my wife, how I think God's way for it versus, again, getting around some man-haters and some women-haters and letting them lead me off into places God never intended me to go. Do you know I have seen marriages destroyed by friendships? Now, let me take this a step further. Listen to me, and I love you, but I love you enough to tell you the truth. I have seen marriages, the sole reason they divorced is because mom and dad couldn't get their nosy business out of their kids' marriage. Do not be one of those parents. I mean, that's the only reason that couple divorced, more than one. Mom and dad couldn't let Junior or Sissy go and be their own family. And they stayed in that marriage, and they caused the divorce, and they lacked when they caused the divorce. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. So again, what do you do for fun? What do you do for laughter? How do you have longevity? You work. Where's your thoughts at? Everybody say, my thoughts. Most marriages live in thoughts of the past. Whether it's good or bad. Most marriages surviving today and going into Monday are living and thinking off things in the past, good or bad. Be honest with you, most time it's just the bad. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, let me tell you this. Anytime you get into just any of a little bit of disagreement, I can promise you, your past is fixing to get brought up. Come on, somebody can witness in the house of the Lord and say, uh-huh. Go ahead, guys, be brave. They're going to bring you past up. Because it's an aha, gotcha moment. And you got to defend yourself. The Bible says, don't do that. Everybody say, don't do that. Luke chapter 9, verse 62. This is how you have a long marriage. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow, everybody say the plow, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So in your marriage, you got to plow every day. You want your marriage to grow, you better plow up some fallow ground. And the Bible says when you're plowing and you're going forward, you should be focused forward. But the moment you begin to look back at their mistakes and look back at their past, you're not going forward anymore. Or if you're going forward, you're going to get out the row and go off course. If it's been settled in the past with God, it's been settled in the past with God. If it's under the blood, don't get them bloody again. Go forward. Because we've all made mistakes. Come on. We're close to home time. We're just going in a minor bit of overtime today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Work what? Willingly. Everybody say willingly. Willingly at whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than people. Dear God, put your marriage in that verse. I need to work for my wife. I don't care if you don't like my wife. I love her. And it don't matter what you think about her. Amen? I don't care what you think about her. I love her. Amen? So your opinion doesn't mean squat to me. Shocking. You'd be amazed at how many people base their love on their spouse, how their friends receive them, how everybody else think they are. Now, if you get a group of people say, now listen, how he just got out of lockup and just got out of a mental hospital, you may want to take some advice. Just checking. There are friends that will speak truth into your life. But most of them don't. Most of them are going to try to create trouble in your marriage. I know what I'm talking about. I say it all the time. Now, is my spouse work? Yes. Am I work for my spouse? Oh, yes, I'm a lot of work. But it's none of anybody else's business. Because we're working on something to build that glorifies God. And if you like it, fine. If you don't, I don't care. At the end of the day, I don't go home and go to bed with you. If someone in town starts looking and hitting on my wife, it's a badge of honor for me. I get to go home with her. Amen? Yeah, you can clap for that. That's a good one. Now, if they pursue, then we're going to have words. Now, this last verse, don't put it up yet. If you can get your marriage into this verse of the Bible, all the Bible is good for your marriage. But this next verse, if you can get yourself first there, and then you can get your marriage in this one verse, this is God's way. All this has been God's way, but I want to point this one verse out to you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. But you have to experience it, and it needs to become a lifestyle. Go ahead and put it up. Galatians 2:20. Everybody say I. This is for me, not my wife. I can't make her. She can't make me. Right? Free will. But if I love her and I love God, I have been what? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but it is Christ that lives in me. Amen. Watch this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I'm going to live it by faith in the Son of God. Who what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You first have to get yourself there. And if you get there and your spouse gets there, baby, your marriage is there. Hallelujah. And your marriage will walk in marital bliss. It'll walk in marital anointing. It'll testify the goodness of God. And again, when the devil comes in like a flood, the standard of marriage has been established, and your marriage will just roll right over it. The way God intended marriage to be, every one of us. But you got to make it personal. And you can't just know this verse. You can't just memorize this verse. It has to be experienced in your life by the Spirit of God. And you have to live it out every day of your life. So you don't get to get up one day and say, I've decided I'm not going to be crucified today. I'm going to live my own way. Let me put marriage in here. Go ahead and stand to your feet. For the couple who understand God's love, for the couple who understands the laughter and the joy of the Lord inside their marriage and themselves, to the couple who wants that longevity and that lasting and that loyalty, and when you've got that in that husband and you've got that in that wife, and you bring your marriage, and this verse has become your personal verse for you first, not nobody else. And if you've got that and your spouse has got that, then you have this. Our marriage is crucified with Christ. Our marriage is no longer about us, but about Christ who lives in us. And this marriage which we now live in the flesh, where our marriage we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us, loves our marriage, and gave himself for our marriage. And that's a marriage that will never fail. But outside of that, you're subject to all temptations to come in. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, I thank you for this time. We've had some laughing, and we should. But Lord, now we bring this thing to the full head of what you want to do right here. And that is, you want the individual person here today, man or woman, boy or girl, to be crucified with you. To lay our lives down knowing that we could not pay for our sin, but your crucifixion did, Lord. And that if we want to be the man of God, if we want to be the husband of God, we must come through the blood of Jesus. Because we cannot forgive ourselves. We cannot forgive our own sins, but Jesus can. If you are here today and you want to be the woman of God and you want to be the wife that God intended, you've got to come through Jesus because he paid the price. And when you do that, even if your spouse doesn't do it, there's going to be a partial healing begin to come into that house. And we read in week one that women, a lot of you live with men that are outside the will of God because of their pride, because of their warped idea of what a real man is. They've not surrendered their life to Christ, and you're living in that sometimes. And they won't go to church. They won't study. They won't read the Bible. They won't pray over you. They provide. They just think, as long as I put food on the table and a roof, I'm the man. Well, that's part of what the man is, but a real man loves God. And you live in that. But I'm going to tell you, when you get your point to that, you'll be what the Word says. You'll be able to help bring him to Christ through your actions. It's the Bible. That's the promise of the Bible. Go back to week one. But the main thing is today, have you received Jesus as your Savior? And if you haven't, we want to give you that opportunity. And then we do it like this right here. You will not join church today. We're not worried about that. That can come later, wherever God plants you, the Bible says. We just want to introduce you to Jesus, where you can surrender your life to him and have salvation and a born-again experience and live the rest of your life growing and growing and growing as a child of God. The second thing, you'll not be a part of a religious organization. You'll be born again into the kingdom of heaven through the King himself. So with that being said, just by the lifting of your hand today, say, I'm ready to surrender my life right here, right now, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel. If that's you today, just lift your hand up. Anyone, real quickly, in this house. Great, we got everybody saved in here then. I don't know that for a fact, but I've been where you've been. There's been times I walked out and didn't raise my hand, but I came because I knew it was truth. And so today, how many of us would say, today I'm ready to walk into that lasting, loyal relationship, and I'm ready to be a Galatians 2:20 person and have a Galatians 2:20 marriage? If that's you, just lift your hand. Now, God's going to see the hand and he's going to see the heart. That's an old Pentecostal altar saying. But can I tell you, it's still true. If your hand went up, that's your vow. It's like saying, yes, Lord. It's like saying, I do to my vows. So you can put them down. But God knows your heart. He knows you want to go forward. And if you surrender yourself to him as a born-again believer and start getting in your word and getting around godly influences, I promise you, your marriage, you are going to grow. And as you grow in Christ, your marriage will grow in Christ. That's a promise from the Lord. So, Father, say this with me. Say, we thank you that you died for us and you're alive for us. And it's only through your blood that my marriage can honor God. I remember my vows. And whether or not I knew it, I did take them to you first, God, and then to my spouse. Help me to begin to walk back into those. Renew my faith to them, God. Heal my marriage through your covenant marriage. I love you, Jesus, and I bless your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.